I'd like to ask you, if you will, tonight, to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. While you're turning there, I'd like to ask all of you to be in special prayer for Sister Laura Porson. She'll be going back to Dr. Brooks in Brunswick this coming week. I'd like to ask all of you to pray for God to bless her, to get a good report from the doctor, and bless her to be removed, be able to remove the brace that she's been wearing now for quite a while. I pray that God will bless her to be completely restored to her health. This morning we tried to begin looking at the Word of God where the Scripture says that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. The joy of Jerusalem. And that was literally true. That the joy of Jerusalem, the children of Israel that were dwelling in Jerusalem, the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And there were reasons that they were full of joy. The first reason was that they had been able to rebuild the temple. They had found the Word of God while they were rebuilding the temple. They had the Word of God. They had the temple of God again. Then in the book of Nehemiah, the Word of God tells us how they had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And they were thankful for the security and for the felt presence of God with them. And they were rejoicing in all of that. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. We tried then to look at how the Word of God teaches that there is a new Jerusalem that God's people can enter into today. And just as the saints of God in the Old Testament, just as they were rejoicing in Jerusalem because of the temple and the Word of God and the walls around the city, likewise we in the new Jerusalem, we can rejoice because of the church of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the city of God and the walls that are around that city, and the promise that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, and that nothing that's evil can enter into that holy city, the New Jerusalem. And so the people of God today can also be rejoicing because of all the blessings of God on Jerusalem. But then we also looked at other reasons that we have to rejoice. The Word of God says that we're to rejoice when there's one sinner that repents. Every time there's a child of God that turns away from the evil of this world and begins to return to the Lord, there ought to be great rejoicing in the house of God. The people of God ought to be cheering and rejoicing over every sinner that repents. Also, we looked at the fact that the Word of God tells us in Matthew 25 that every servant that takes what God has given him and uses it to the honor and glory of God, God will say to that servant, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So there's great joy that the people of God have by doing what God tells them to do. God will make them rejoice is the expression that we find in the Word of God. Many, many other reasons. When we look at the bountiful blessings we have in our lives and how we have so much given to us by God, and we recognize that all of these blessings we have, they're a gift from God, that every good and perfect gift comes from God, that also causes our hearts to rejoice in recognizing the bountiful blessings that we have in our lives. Many other things that we have to rejoice about. There's one particular thing that's on my heart tonight that we have to rejoice about, and that's found in 2 Chronicles. If you're looking in your Bibles now at 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I don't know that you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, but I just think it's beautiful to read and reread the Word of God. And every time that you read the Word of God under the blessings of the Spirit of God, you'll find that you'll be rejoicing again. Isn't it amazing that you can take something as familiar as the 23rd Psalm, that you know by heart, that you could almost start, I could say, quote verse 6, and you could quote verse 6. Or I could say, quote verse 3, or verse 4, you could quote that. You know it by heart, you know it backwards and forwards, and yet every time the Spirit of God blesses you in reading or hearing that 23rd Psalm, it just fills your heart with joy. And so it is tonight as we look at the First Chronicles, chapter 29. The Word of God tells us another reason that the people of God have to rejoice and that we ought to be rejoicing. In First Chronicles, chapter 29, look please in your Bibles, beginning at verse 6. First Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning at verse 6, the Word of God says, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rules of the king's work," with the rulers of the king's work, what are the last two words in that verse of Scripture? They offered willingly. Now that was the work they did, was they offered willingly. They gave things willingly. They were in the process of rebuilding and they needed money and the people were offering willingly. Now I want you to see that when the people of God really understand what God has done for them, that they will offer willingly and they'll find great joy in giving willingly, offering willingly. Now listen to verse 7. "And gave," that is when they offered willingly, "they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite." Verse 9, I want you to listen carefully to verse 9. This is the main verse that's on my heart tonight. Verse 9 says, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." You see how again this verse, like Nehemiah 12, over and over talks about the great rejoicing that the people of God are doing. And what they're doing right now is they're giving, they're offering things to God, and while they're giving it with great joy. They find joy in giving. And I think, though you might see this differently, I think that David gave and he also rejoiced in it. But I think the main expression or truth in that last expression where it says, "And David the king also rejoiced with great joy," though it can mean that David was giving, and as a result of him giving, he was rejoicing, I believe that there also could be the truth that as David, who was the king of the people, that when he saw the people giving willingly to the Lord and rejoicing in giving, I think that caused joy in David's heart because he was rejoicing to see the people of God doing what God was telling them to do and rejoicing while they were doing it. Listen, brethren, there's great joy in the lives of God's people when they see other children of God that are doing what they ought to do and doing it willingly. I believe John says that, "I have no greater joy," I believe it's 3 John verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth." John wasn't talking about natural children. He was talking about that as a minister of the gospel, as a preacher of the Word of God, the greatest joy he had was to watch the people of God doing what God tells them to do. And did you know that's the greatest joy I have in my life? I have great joy in my children. I enjoy my children, my wife, my grandchildren, enjoy all of those blessings. But the greatest joy I have in my life is to watch the people of God do what God's Word says and watch them rejoice in doing what God's Word says, because then they know the Word of God is true and they see it does, that God does keep His promises, that we are full of joy when we do what God tells us to do. What's the main thing? There are two words that we're mainly looking at tonight that cause great joy, and that is that we offer, that we make offerings, and we offer willingly. That we offer willingly. Now if you'll look at the next several verses, and I know we're reading a lot tonight, but it's important. And I encourage you to go home and just read and study 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 6 through 14 especially. And I want to start with verse 10, and I want you to see the kind of commitment and dedication that David had, but I want you to see the humility. Have you ever seen anybody give or make an offering They wanted recognition for whatever offering they gave. Have you ever seen that? You can go in some churches on every window. What do you find on every window? Names of people. Given in memory of. On every Bible. On every pew. You ever seen little brass plaques on the end of the pew? In song books. Everywhere you look, you find people's names given to honor this person and given to honor that person and given by this person. I'll tell you, the Word of God says that when you give, Jesus says, when you give, you're to do it willingly and you're not to do it grudgingly. But when you give, you're to give not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And this idea of giving and wanting recognition for giving, the Word of God says if you give to be seen of men, you've had your reward. But if you give out of a heart of love and gratitude for God, did you know it doesn't mention anybody's name here? Now think about this. I thought about how, as you read through, it talks about people that gave gold, right? It talks about people that gave iron. Now, give a pound of iron, give a pound of gold. Which one do you want to give? Which one do you want to give?
Iron.
Okay, now, tell me why you said gold, Brother Philip. Why do you want to give gold?
It would depend if I was spiritual that day or not.
Okay. Okay.
Gold because it's worth more, or if I was fleshly, I would want to show more.
Okay, that's right. If we're in the flesh, you can say, well, I want to give iron because I don't want to give up any of my gold. And if you're in the flesh, you could also say, well, I want to give gold, but I want you to be sure you tell everybody what I'm giving. And I read about these men here that had precious stones. I picture people with rubies and diamonds, and I watch them come, and they start just as those men had given their gold. And listen, brethren, probably those that gave iron, that's all they had was iron. I doubt that people that had gold were giving iron. I think the only ones who were giving iron, that's the best they had, was iron. And they gave the best they had. I think that's the reason all these things are mentioned, is that there are different degrees of ability in giving. But whatever you have, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you, you remember that woman that went into the temple to give, that widow woman, that all she had was two mites. And Jesus, as He watched them as they were giving in the temple, He says, that woman gave more than all the rest of the people. I'm sure that the people didn't think that. I'm sure there were some of the people that gave a lot of money. But I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus said there was nobody there that had given as much as that woman who just gave two mites because she gave all that she had. And likewise, in this passage of Scriptures, we read about those that gave gold and brass, and we read about those that gave iron. I want you to know that God was just as pleased with those that gave iron if iron was all they had.
Yeah.
But whatever they had, they were giving, and they were giving willingly. And those that had precious stones, diamonds and rubies and all kinds of precious stones, they were giving what they had. And everybody that was giving, they were offering willingly to the Lord. And what were they all doing while they were offering willingly? What's the main thing? Say it again, Brother Philip. They were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. They were glad to give. They were thankful to be able to give. Don't do things grudgingly. Did you know that if you realize how much God's doing for you, you'll be glad. You'll be rejoicing for the opportunity to give. You know, sometimes you just don't really realize how good God is to you in your life. Sometimes you don't realize how much God has given to you. It's much like the preacher, I don't remember this story exactly, but it was something like the preacher was talking about giving 10%, the tithes, and then the offerings above that. And one man said, well, you know, when I was only making $100 a week, it was easier for me to give $10 of that $100 than it is now that I'm making $10,000 a week. I'm having to give $1,000 a week now. And that's a lot harder to give $1,000 than to give $10. You know what the preacher told him? He said, well, I'll pray for the Lord to cut you back to $100 a week, and then you'll be able to give your $10 a week. What's the point of all of that? The point is, too much is given, much is required. And the more we have, the more we ought to be willing to give. Brother Philip in his prayer was talking about how we've been given so much and we ought to be just be happy to give. We have so much. We're not like other nations that have nothing. We're not like people, children of God, that are in other nations that have nothing in the material world. We're more blessed. The people of God in America are more blessed than any people on the face of this earth. And yet we seem to want to hold back and not be happy to give. We ought to be the happiest people on the earth to give to the Lord, to make sacrifices to the Lord, to offer willingly to the Lord. And when we offer willingly, we ought to do it with joy, glad. It's like picking up the people at the nursing home. Do you think there's some people that are happy to go pick them up at the nursing home? You think there are some people that are happy to go pick them up at the nursing home? Are there some people that run from it? Are there some people, I tell you, there were several men that worked hard to put up the playground equipment here last Saturday and Saturday before last. Did you know there's some people that run from work in the house of God and other people just do everything that's done? Did you know that? Doesn't matter what you want to do, there are some people that they're going to do everything they can to run from what God's Word is calling on them to do. They run just as fast as they can. Other people are just glad to do anything they can. You know who's happy? You know who's really happy? It's the people of God that are offering willingly to the Lord. They're giving their time, they're giving their energy, they're giving their talents, they're giving their money, they're giving whatever they have, and they're doing it willingly. They're happy to give because they recognize what God's done for them, and there is joy. What does the text say from this morning? The joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. I'll tell you, the people of God that are full of joy are the people of God that, in addition to doing all those things we looked at this morning, they're people that offer willingly. They offer of their tithes and offerings, and they're willing to give, and they're happy to give everything they have in service to God. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Well, let me read this. I wanted to read 10 through 14. In 1 Chronicles 29, let's look at verses 10 through 14. I want you to listen to what David has to say. Here's the reason David was so happy to give, and the reason the people were so happy to give. In 1 Chronicles 20, chapter 29 and verse 10, the Word of God says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." Now listen carefully. "For all that is in heaven and in earth is Thine." What do you think about sometimes? What do you own? What do you think you own? What do you think you have? I tell you, the devil's got us deceived into thinking we have a lot, when the fact and the reality is all that is in heaven and in earth is God's.
That's right.
And if you have a lot of things, if you have a lot of money, if you have a lot of brains, if you have a lot of talents, if you have a lot of skills, you better remember all of that is God's. It's not really yours. But you are accountable to God for the way you use everything that you have. There are many of you that are very intelligent, very smart. There are many of you that have great gifts and great talents. I'll tell you, I just want you to all remember that it's all a gift from God and it doesn't belong to you. You are only a steward. Listen carefully. You're only a steward of whatever you have. There's some of you that are outstanding teachers. You need to thank God. Have you ever, any of you teachers that are real good, have you ever thought about how some teachers can't teach? Have you? I did when I taught. Let me tell you. I taught school and I just got real frustrated with teachers that didn't teach. And then when I got in administration and I would go around to the rooms and I'd see teachers sitting there reading a magazine and the kids were just cutting up, I began to build cases against every one of them. I talked to them first and couldn't get them to change. They were lazy, good-for-nothing teachers. And I fired 69 teachers the first year. That's over a nine-county area, nine counties. But I fired 69 teachers. You know why? They were lazy. They didn't want to work. They had gifts. They had talent. They had abilities. But they wouldn't use what they had. And they didn't deserve to be in the classroom. It was a disservice to those students to let teachers teach that didn't have the ability, didn't have any care or concern for the people. The same thing's true in all of our lives, brethren. Whatever your job is, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, you do it with all your might and you do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. You be faithful to offer everything you have. Offer it willingly to God.
Yeah.
So it says, all that's in heaven and in earth is thine. We're in verse 11. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now listen carefully to verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee. Where did you get your riches from? Where did you get your honor? All of you that have accomplished great things and are accomplishing great things, where does it all come from? It all comes from God. So don't you have a reason to offer willingly to the Lord? Don't you think that if there's any people on the face of this earth that have a reason to rejoice, we have a reason to rejoice?
Amen.
You know, Brother Clay, in his prayer, did you know what we studied this morning, Brother Clay? Did you know before you came in the house? Do you know how many times Brother Clay mentioned joy this morning? Did any of you notice that? 5 times in his prayer he talked about joy. He talked about what a joy it was to be in the house of God. He talked about what a joy it was to see families that love the Lord and love the Word of God. He 5 different times he used the word joy in his prayer. I'll tell you, brethren, it's a reason to rejoice to come to the house of God. We're in the city. We're in the temple. We're in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And just as the Word of God says that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off, the people of God in this house, we ought to be shouting praises of God, praises of glory to God. People ought to be hearing about it afar off. Whatever truth you have, one of the things he was rejoicing in his prayer was the truth that God's given to us. Listen, brethren, that's a great blessing, is to have the truth of God's Word. You know where you got the truth from? You know how you know the truth? Whatever truth you know. And P.S., you don't know all the truth. But whatever truth you know, do you know where it all came from? God gave it to you.
Amen.
You know what you're accountable to God to do? Tell other people the truth that God's shown to you. The more you show people the truth, the more you share, the more you give of the truth that you have, the more truth God will give you.
Amen.
If you're rejoicing in the truth, you'll be sharing the truth. You'll be telling others about whatever truth you know. Now listen, in verse 12, he says, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and all might. Let me ask you this question. If all power and might and glory and honor and all riches, if they're all in God's hand, can He just take it away from you? Can God take it away from you and away from me? Let me ask you this question. Can God just take it all away from our nation? Just say, fine, you don't want to honor me? You don't want to give me glory. You want to turn your back on me. You want to despise my word. You want to despise my laws. You want to despise my name. Fine. I'll just take it all away from you. Let's see you. Let's see you glory now.
Yeah.
That's what God's going to do, brethren. That's what God is going to do.
That's right.
Very, very important that as we recognize and realize that God's going to destroy our nation because our nation has turned her back on God, it's very important that you realize that there will be a remnant in every nation, that before God destroys that nation, that there will be a remnant in every nation that God will take care of when He brings His judgments on that nation. You look throughout the pages of God's Word and you will always find that God has always had in every nation where He brought His judgment, there was always a remnant that loved God, feared God, served God, and were offering willingly to the Lord right up to the time of the judgment. You know what God does for them every time? God helps them, blesses them. He lifts them up into a sacred nearness with Him. Fear not. Fear not if, capital I, if you're serving the Lord. Verse 14, listen. Here's what David says in verse 14, 1 Chronicles 29. In verse 14 he says, but who am I? You think David probably gave more than everybody else gave? I think he probably did because David was a rich man. I think David probably gave more than everybody else. And here's what he says. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. We've just given you back what you gave to us. Do we have any reason to glory? That's what David says. Do we have any reason to glory? And I would ask all of you, do you have any reason to glory? If you present your body a living sacrifice, if you were to die as a martyr, we sang that song, Christ is All. If you were to die as a martyr, do you have any reason to glory? If you were to give up all the gold and silver you have, You know, there were people that in the early church, they took everything they had, they sold everything they had, and they gave it to the early church. You remember that? Do you think they had any reason to glory? All they had done was just return to the Lord what was already His. And they did it willingly. And the Lord was well pleased with that. And they were full of three letters. They were full of what?
Joy.
They were full of joy because the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Because the people, as the Scripture says here, they offered willingly. Now go with me to Isaiah. Look in your Bibles, please, at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I encourage you to, just for 1 minute, look at Isaiah chapter 1. I wish we had all night. There's a lot of good teaching on the importance of us offering willingly. And I encourage you to just go home and study that. All of you know how to study. If you don't know how to study, you see me. Let me come study with you one-on-one. Because you need to learn how to study God's Word. If the only time you study the Word of God, and the only time you look at the Word of God, and the only time you hear from the Word of God, the only time you rejoice in the Word of God is when you're in God's house, you're missing a lot of blessings. So I encourage you, if you aren't studying God's Word at home, you see me, and I'll come sit down with you one night a week, two nights a week. I'll do whatever you need, but I can teach you how to study God's holy Word. Isaiah chapter 1, we'll close with these two verses. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Are there some of God's people that are happy to go to the house of God? Are there some people that are not happy to go to the house of God? I'm talking about children of God. Are there some people that are happy to go Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and glad every time they can go to the house of the Lord? David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They offered willingly of their time, their energy, and their service. Listen now in Isaiah 1, verses 19 and 20. The Word of God says, if ye be willing and obedient. Have you ever been willing, but you weren't obedient? Does everybody follow what you mean, what the Scripture is talking about here? If you be willing and obedient. Somebody tell me, what does it mean to be willing to do something? How many of you are willing to read the Bible every day? How many of you are willing to read the Bible every day? Hold up your... Okay, just about everybody here is willing. I'm not going to ask you to now raise your hand again. But see, you can be willing to do something, but never do it. A lot of people of God, they're willing to, but they never do it. And that's not enough. The Bible says here, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now what's he talking about, eating the good of the land? Is he talking about going to heaven one day and dying and getting to eat something from the bountiful table that God supposedly has up there in heaven? He's not talking about that. He's talking about eating the good of the land, the kingdom of heaven, while we live right here. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But, verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is serious for me. It's serious for me. If I'm willing and obedient, I'll eat the good of the land. That's a great blessing. But if I refuse and rebel, I'll be devoured with a sword. Is that because the preacher said it?
No.
Threatened? You know, it's because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. May God help us to be willing and obedient, because then we'll be rejoicing in the new Jerusalem, is my prayer for Christ's sake.